Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
If you've got a Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 26. And we're going to get into the Word of God. I've had an exciting week. Exciting things are happening. The enemy is at work. God is more successful. Do not be troubled by what you see around you. God is alive. We're in our second week of our new message series. Pretty excited. God is doing something wonderful in our midst. I've had a longing in my spirit. I've talked about this Friday night for about a year and a half now. And I'm on the precipice of seeing it completely unlocked. And I'm really excited. And I want to let you know, there may be things in your heart that you're dreaming for. God dreams. And you can't see how to get there from here. And I'm here to let you know. I believe in the next couple weeks, God's going to help you unlock some of those things. There's destinies that God has for you. And you can't seem to get there from here. There's like a chasm. And I'm here to let you know that God is unlocking destinies in this message series. And God is just going to be doing wonderful things in your life. I want to tell you a little story before we get in the Word. Is that all right? Is that okay? Ask your neighbor if it's okay. Make sure they're not sleeping. Is that okay? Did they say it's okay? Kind of takes place in Scotland, 1949. Off the coast of Scotland, there's this archipelago of islands, series of islands. And it had really died spiritually. There was no young people in church. There was no spiritual life. The only people in church were elderly, and literally, it looked like the move of God, the presence of God, the church of Jesus Christ was going to die on that island. Because it's off the coast of Scotland, it had been taken over by every group of people who ever owned a boat, basically. And so every kind of religion was on that island. There was still the Celtic religions with the New Age that bind the power of God. There was Roman Catholicism. There was, of course, evangelical Christianity. But there was also other faiths, New Age faiths, and faiths that reject Jesus Christ. And people began to say, this is a problem. This is a problem because the church isn't supposed to look like this. And there were two elderly women who were in their 80s, a lady named Peggy and Christine Smith. They were sisters. Now, Peggy Smith was completely blind. She was 82 years old. Excuse me, she was 84 years old. Peggy was blind and 84 years old. She had a sister, Christine, who was 82, and she had severe arthritis. Her arthritis was so bad, she would be bent over, unable to stand up straight. And they were so old and so frail that they were unable to go to church. So they themselves couldn't actually do something in the church, in the natural, and make a shift. They decided they were going to begin praying for Jesus to awaken the church on their island. And so they began to pray. They began to pray every night in a little barn they had. And in their cottage, they prayed, and they prayed on their knees, and they began praying somewhere early evening, and they would pray until 3 or 4 in the morning, asking God to pour His Spirit out on their island, that little island, the island of Lewis, would be ignited for Jesus. And day after day after day, they would pray. And one night, Peggy got a vision, and in the vision, there was a man she didn't know preaching in her church, and the church was filled with young people. Peggy knew when she had that vision that God had spoken and she had achieved the heart of God. She knew what the heart of God was. Now they had something to stand on. And so she went to her pastor and said, listen, went to the pastor and the elders of the church. They said, listen, we got to begin a prayer meeting. Here's what God wants to do on our island. He wants to fill our churches. That was the church of her father had helped establish years and years earlier. It says, God wants to revisit this church. God wants to fill it with young people. I saw a man that I didn't know preaching in this church. We need to begin praying. And like any smart pastor, when the elderly women who have a spirit of intercession on them speak, you listen. And he called a prayer meeting, got together the deacons, said, listen, we're going to begin having a prayer meeting on Tuesdays and Thursdays for our church. So the deacons got together with the pastor and some of the people in the church, and they began to cry out to God. They would start at 10 o'clock at night, and they'd pray till 4 in the morning. They'd pray until God would speak. They cried out for their town. They cried out for their island. They cried out that Jesus would pour out his spirit. They cried out. They said, in this little group of island, the Hebrides, that you would come, Lord, and that you would fill the church, and that you would awaken hearts, and that you would renew the lives of the people of this island. And they would pray, and they would pray, and they would pray, and they would pray. And then one day, one person got the revelation. The scripture came to them that says, who can see the face of God? Him with clean hands and a pure heart. Instantly they recognized God was not there because their hearts were not pure. And a man stood up, the deacon, he said, listen, I just got this, this came to me, this revelation came to me. And he said, God, do I have clean hands and a pure heart? If not, would you make it so? And at that moment, the skies opened above that meeting room. And the Spirit of the Lord was poured out on that group. And people began to cry and weep. And they knew that God had heard them and he was going to answer their prayer and fill their little meeting hall. So they sent message to Scotland and said, listen, there's this great preacher there. Could you send him to come and lead meetings here? We believe God wants to move. This is 1949. And he said, no, I can't, but I know a man who should come there. He's a student at the Bible College. He travels, leads revivals, he's an evangelist. His name was Duncan Campbell. Duncan Campbell said, I can't, I'm booked up for the next year. But there were two interceding elderly women, Peggy and Christine Smith, who had heard from God. So he sent message back saying, I'm not going to be able to make it till next year. I'm sorry. They said, we're eagerly expecting your arrival. Within a week, Duncan Campbell's complete schedule had been cleared. He said, I'm now available to come to your meetings. So in 1949, he traveled across the water from Scotland to these islands. Expecting to be there for 10 days, he packed, bid his family farewell, and went there. And began to preach in this little church, had his first meeting there, and nothing happened. And they said, well, we know what God said. We need to pray. So after the meeting, they went into that barn and they began to pray. And they prayed 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 for an outpouring. And at 3 in the morning, the skies opened again. They started at 10. At 3 o'clock, God spoke. The anointing overcame them. They went home, went to sleep. The next night, they had another meeting, except this time, the church was completely packed. They were supposed to have a meeting, supposed to last 2 hours. It lasted 6 hours. They didn't leave that place till 3 in the morning. At 3 in the morning, they left, and Duncan Campbell, of course, was very tired, and he went to go back to his room so he could sleep, to get together and pray again. And they said, Mr. Campbell, can you please, something has happened in the town. He said, what happened in the town? He said, there's people meeting at the police station. Would you come and share the gospel with them? As he traveled to the police station, there were people laid out on the side of the road under the power of God. He got to the police station, there were 600 people there. The presence of God had fallen in that town. He planned to be there 10 days and go back home. He didn't leave that island for 2 years. This small island and the islands near it experienced a revival. Completely changed the town, changed the face of Christianity, and has sparked faith in people ever since. What was the secret of this? What was the magic ingredient? I'm here to let you know. It was prayer. It was prayer that unlocks destinies. It was prayers that find the heart of God and bring them before God and petitions God until his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a prayer that goes beyond just asking God for stuff. There's a prayer that goes beyond just saying your prayers. There's prayer that goes beyond just doing the Lord's Prayer or doing what you feel is required. And I fear that our generation has lost the ability, what they've called, the saints of old called, praying through. We've lost the ability to pray through. To many, they don't even understand what this concept is. You may have never heard this concept before. And I'm here to let you know, this generation has been robbed of the ability to touch God in prayer. It's my goal in this message series to equip you, to teach you, to spark faith in you, provoke you even, to learn how and achieve the ability to pray through until you achieve your destiny. So many times we because of the prophetic movement and the restoration of the gift and the restoration of the offices and there's such an ability to see God's desires, and yet so many people don't even want to hear another prophecy because it's one more unrealized dream. One more unrealized destiny. One more opportunity to be disappointed by my future. Now more than ever, there's conferences and books and prophetic ministries, and there's just so much in the body of Christ in seeing into the future, yet there's so little in the ability to see how to bridge now and then. And the Lord is going to restore that in our house. He's going to restore it in your life. We're coming into great times in this house. So on this Lewis Island, they learned how to pray through and see this thing happen. I don't know what your Lewis Island is. Your Lewis Island could be cancer that needs to be cured in your life or your family members. Lewis Island could be receiving your spouse. Your Lewis Island could be the shift in career that you've desired so much. Lewis Island could be your business finally taking off. I don't know what your Lewis Island is. But these people on Lewis Island in the Hebrides archipelago off the coast of Scotland, they're just one in a long line of people who learned how to pray things through until they see it in this realm. Where do you need this breakthrough? Where do you need God's heaven to touch earth? Where in your life do you need this? Let me ask you another question. Is there anywhere in your life that you've clearly heard the plan of God and you don't see? Or are you just living what seemed like a good plan back in the day? Or are you living just what you thought would be the American dream? Are you just living something you saw somebody else doing and now you're trying to achieve it in your own power? Let me say it this way. Are you living out of imitation or revelation? It's our desire to live out of revelation, out of what does God desire for my life? Let me make that come into my present reality so I can change this earth like it is in heaven. But somehow we lose the ability to link what God's desire in heaven is with God's desire on earth. We lose the ability to shift this realm to line up with God's desires, if I could get so spiritual as to say it that way. I mean, when I look at the Bible and I see healings and deliverance and I see great power and I see great testimony, I want to see that here and now. And we see it in drips and drops. I want to see the river, though. I want to see the river. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Let me set the stage here. Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. He knew this. He wasn't surprised. They didn't take him over. He gave his life, right? Y'all know Jesus, right? Son of God, Mary's boy. Remember him? Takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, yes? So he was about to do this wonderful thing for us, you know, bear the sin so that we could be forgiven. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. And this story is in all four Gospels. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. And he says, Lord, if there's any way to take this away, please let this cup pass. Now, why did he say that? Did Jesus say that because he was scared to be beaten? I don't believe so. I don't believe Jesus lived out of the flesh. Was he scared of being crucified? Well, clearly not. That's what he was born for. What was he saying? He didn't want to be separated from the Father. And so he gets his disciples together and he says, listen, let us pray right here. Let us pray right here. And they continue to fall asleep. And he says to them in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, he says, this prophetic word, he says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Isn't that the truth? Rarely do we not do the right thing because we don't know what the right thing is. Well, I just didn't know that I wasn't supposed to touch that. Well, of course you knew you weren't supposed to touch that. I didn't know that that would be bad. I didn't realize that that would wreck my marriage. Well, of course you knew all those things, but your spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. You know the easiest way to test this scripture? Declare a fast. You ever declare a fast and all of a sudden everybody you know is throwing a barbecue? Wife is making your favorite meal and you get like 40 Kit Kats in the mail. Like, oh, you won a prize. Like, how did that happen? Like you might eat two meals a day and then you start fasting and all of a sudden it's like 9:30 in the morning and you're shaking. Oh, I'm crashing. Oh, I'm sweating. Is that just me? I don't know. Okay, just making sure. Have you ever fasted? Okay. Tried to at least. No. I know people who fast in between every meal. They're so spiritual. Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus tells these folks, listen, you got to pray. You have to watch and pray. If you're not praying through, then more likely you're falling to temptation. Jesus said, listen, either you're watching and praying or you're falling into temptation. Watch and pray or you fall into temptation. And what we find is the more we pray, the more our spirit is strong. And the more we pray, the more our flesh is weak. And the more we submit to our spirit, the less we submit to the desires of our flesh. Now, I don't know what the desires of your flesh are. They could be soulless desires. They could be lust of the world, the pride of life. I mean, it could be anything. But what Jesus says here is, listen, if you don't have an active prayer life, then more than likely your spiritual senses are getting dulled. They're getting dulled, and the enemy is winning. The greatest tragedy is to live your whole life and find out you've built nothing that'll last for eternity. I find that the most tragic thing in the world, that you spend your entire life building something. You had dreams and goals and things you wanted to achieve, and you achieve them all, and nothing will survive the fire that tests everything at the end of time. I don't want to be led by my flesh. I don't want to be led by my soul. I don't want to live a life that leaves no spiritual legacy. I don't want to leave my kids a massive business and a ticket to hell. I want to leave a spiritual inheritance that my kids walk into things that I had to struggle through, but they easily walk into them because I've made such headway in the spirit. I want to leave sons and daughters on the earth that are changing cities and nations as a legacy. I want to get to heaven and I want to know that I made a difference here for God's glory. How do we do that? Through prayer. Through prayer. Prayer is the key that unlocks destiny. If you're not praying through, then quite probably you're being neutralized by the enemy. Now, the enemy will let you achieve stuff and make you feel like you're being successful, but you're not achieving anything that'll last for eternity, nothing that's affecting the kingdom. You want to see what the enemy is up to? Start doing something for Jesus. Take a bold step for Jesus. Take a step of faith for Jesus. Make a prayer covenant with God. I am going to pray with you, Jesus, every morning for 45 minutes, and you'll find out how important sleep is to you. You'll find out how important comfort is to you. I fear that the church today is sound asleep with the eyes wide open. I fear that people think they're awake and are alive and are serving God and are fulfilling destinies, but they're sleeping, sound asleep, in slumber. Now, this is not a heavy word. I want to kind of, I'm not here to comfort you today. I'm here to shake you a little, make you a little uncomfortable, desire more in your life. The most frustrating thing for me as a pastor is when I have to sit down with people and say, listen, the way you're living is not God's best. How do you not see this? How do you not see that God has more for you? I know this feels great, and I know this is what you want, and it's soothing your problems, but this is not God's best. That's heartbreaking for me And it's probably heartbreaking for you. If you're parents and you see kids sleeping away their high school education, you're like, listen, I'm not trying to be mean. There's something better for you than this. This unlocks futures. If you do well in school, it unlocks things in the next season of life. I'm not here to be mean and say you got to follow the rules because I want to lord over you. If you do well in school, you do better after high school. If you're in college, you might as well go and study and do well. Am I talking? Is this on? Is this on, Ron? Is this? Okay, I'm not sure. Don't shout me down. That's all right. Thank you. There's a story in Genesis where Jacob, he was traveling. He was actually running in fear. And he stops and he's sleeping on a rock. How tired you got to be to use a rock as a pillow? You ever think about that? You ever try to lay on a rock? Oh, this will be better. No, actually, it's not. Listen, when you're running from the issues God wants you to get breakthrough, you do dumb stuff. You settle in uncomfortable positions and think it's better because the devil lies to you and has fear dictating your life. But that's not my point. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, the Bible says, Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. As he was sleeping, he has this dream, and he sees the angel of heaven ascending and descending. The Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And that's so much of the church today. I fear that they don't even see where the Lord is today. The Lord is in this house, and they did not even know it. The Lord was moving in this area of life that they're running from, and they did not even know it. Disconnected from the voice of God, disconnected from the direction of God, disconnected from that correction of God. Prayer is not the place where we quiet ourselves and tell God our desires for Him. Lord, let's get together so I can tell you what I think you should be doing. Is anybody with me here? That's not what prayer is. Prayer is not like, you know, well, God, I know you don't know this, but I know you didn't recognize what I wanted to have happen here, but clearly you've forgotten that I wanted this. I know that you were probably, you know, not around when this was going on, but if I could just so inform you as to your role in this relationship. Here's a wonderful thing about prayer. Prayer is a conversation. And when we really tap into the spirit of prayer, God begins to shift our prayers. And the more we pray, the more He interacts with our prayer. The more He begins to change our prayer life to sound like the prayer life of Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father praying for us. And when we begin to pray the prayers of Jesus, God begins to move on our behalf. There's this really neat passage in Acts 29. Is this okay? Am I all right? I'm not yelling too much. Should I yell more? I don't know. I could run around a little bit, I guess. Acts 4, verse 29 says this. If you remember Acts? Remember the book of Acts? Remember the early church? And like they had this really new thing they were talking about, Jesus. And for some reason, the folks in Jerusalem weren't as excited. It's kind of like when, you know, the first time you heard dubstep. You're like, is this broken? I don't... Shaking your radio, was this supposed to sound like? Oh, it was. Oh. Okay, hold on, let me. Oh. Now you don't use drugs, right? You're talking okay. Okay, no, hold on, no. Okay. Oh no, I see where you're going with this. I got you. Yes. Yes, that will probably be very popular with someone. I'm sure there's people who will love it. It's not me as much, but I'm sure I get this now. It was kind of like that. Except they wanted to kill the people. So it's not that different. So, no, I'm joking. So in Acts chapter, unless you do those crazy drugs they're using now, and you just listen to it, and then you try to bite people and stuff, that's kind of crazy. You hear? Anyways. Acts chapter 4. All right, so they were preaching Jesus, and people didn't like it, and they put him in jail. Remember this? Peter and John are in jail, remember? And they tell them, listen, we're gonna beat you very badly, and your life is going to get miserable, and we may kill you. You have to stop talking about Jesus, right? And so they go back home, and they have a prayer meeting. Right? They have a prayer meeting. And what do they pray? Starting in verse 29 of Acts chapter 4. And here's how they pray. They say, and now, Lord, look upon their threats to your servants, and grant to your servants to continue to speak the word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, these people knew how to pray. They knew God's desire on the earth. They knew God's plan for their lives. They knew God's plan for their ministry. They knew what God's will was in their lives. And when people and circumstances start to shift, I mean, can you imagine getting discipled by the man Jesus on earth? Can you imagine what it was like to spend 3 years with him, walking the countryside, seeing him walk on water, watching him yell at the storm and making it stop? Can you imagine what that was like? Can you imagine what it was like that day when you only had a couple loaves of bread and a fish and he fed the multitudes? Can you imagine what that was like? Can you imagine what it was like when he walks into a room where there's a dead person and him and the dead person walk out of the room? Wow. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? You were his disciple. We're talking about Peter and John here. People who are close. I mean, could you imagine what it was like to walk with him and say, my God, I'm now taking over this ministry? This is going to be amazing. This is going to be, you're leaving and now I'm in charge? This is going to be, and then he leaves and all of a sudden everybody tries to kill you. Like, did I get it wrong? Did I miss his desire? What, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you don't like it if the neighbors make fun of you. We're talking about they got arrested. Imagine if the police wanted to kill you. I mean, Sam probably. But I mean, imagine if the, he knows what that, but imagine that the government of the city that you live in right now. Imagine if it was that part of their plan to protect and to serve and to kill you. That was part of the plan. And they said, listen, we're going to arrest you today. And if you come back, we're going to murder you if you don't stop this. And it's not like you can go to the police because they are the police. Warning shots in your back. You know what I'm talking about? Imagine. This is what was happening to them. I was following God and now they want to murder me, the people in charge. And finally get released. And what do you do at that point? You better know what God wants. You better know. I tell people, you want to get married? You better hear God. Because all of hell is going to come against your marriage. You better know that you know that you know that you stood on righteousness and waited for God to speak. Because when hell comes against that marriage, you need to know, I got nowhere to go because God said, here's where I'm married. And so here these two are. They knew God. Nothing that they were seeing lined up with what they heard. And so they prayed. Lord, I know what I'm called to do. So I pray for great boldness. They prayed, Lord, don't let the world affect how I act. Don't let their actions cause me to react. I only want to react what I see you doing and hear you saying. Jesus, they want to murder me. I want to follow you. And if I get murdered, I get murdered. But I don't want to get murdered not following you. And what's the Bible say? Let's continue. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That gets me excited. I've heard it said before, but I believe it even more now. I've seen people shake. I want to see the earth shake. Here's men who are willing to follow Jesus no matter what it cost them. And it was demonstrated in their prayer life. The Holy Ghost didn't come when they were preaching, didn't come when they were getting tried, didn't come when they were being persecuted. It came in prayer. The Bible says they prayed, the Holy Ghost came, and they went out and preached in boldness. Where do you need boldness in your life? Time to step up the prayer life. Praying through takes time. Write that down. Praying through takes time. Praying through takes time. On the island of Lewis, they began to pray at 10, and they went to sleep at 3. And they came back. Oh, nothing happened? All right, let's do it again on Thursday. Nothing happened? Let's come together on Tuesday. Oh, nothing happened? Let's come together on Thursday. Because I know God's going to do something. Praying through takes time. As much as I would love to say, you know, I pray 2 or 3 minutes a day and then God just hears me and I fellowship, it doesn't work that way. Often I will just be in prayer and I'll get on my knees and the Holy Ghost just comes like a flood. But that's not the only time I pray. There's lots of times I pray and no flood happens and I just keep praying. There's things that I've prayed for years before I saw them happen. And sometimes I wonder, you know, in the scripture in Revelation it talks about the censers are full of the saints, and they're poured out at the altar of God. I wonder, how long does it take to fill a censer before it's filled and it's poured out at his altar? What if your prayers had to fill that censer, and you prayed it once a month? What if you prayed it every day? What if you actively prayed it morning and night? What if you lived a life of prayer? What might happen? The two ladies in that revival, this is a story of their prayer life. This revival had been happening for a couple months, and they said, hey, there's a church on the other side of town, on the other side of the island. Can you go there and go preach to them and plant the church? And the guy said, no, they're very opposed to the work of God here. They're very opposed to it, and I won't go there and waste my time. And the lady said, can you pray with us about that? And he said, sure, after this morning meeting, we'll pray. And so they left after the morning meeting. They went to the barn to pray. And the blind lady and the arthritic lady and the pastor got on their knees. And the arthritic lady prayed like this. She said, Lord, now I know Mr. Campbell doesn't hear God like I do. And so, Lord, I pray that you would show him what you showed me in prayer. That when he goes there, the church is going to be established and the 7 men that you're going to raise up to be the pillars of that church would come. And I pray that you would convict his heart to pray more and hear you. Amen. He stood up and said, I will go to the other side of the island. And she said to him, don't forget about the 7 men who are going to be the pillars of that church. He went across the other side of the island, preached one meeting. The Church of Jesus Christ was established. The 7 men became the elders of that church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praying through takes time. Praying through is about consistency. Do you have a prayer list? Or do you just pray whatever's on your mind that day? Do you pray? I mean, but when you do pray, it's about consistency. It's about bringing things to God consistently and saying, Lord, you still have not moved on this behalf. Would you please let me know your will? What I have found is when you consistently pray for things in your life, God begins to shape your prayers in a way that he can answer. Let me say that again. When you pray consistently about things, he begins to shape your prayers in a way that he can answer. He's such a good God that he doesn't give us things that are going to destroy us unless he has turned us over to those things. And as we begin to pray on the issues of life, as we begin to pray through the issues of our family, begin to pray through the issues of our ministry, God begins to shape our prayers in a way that they change over time. And then we realize, I'm praying on this situation in a way I did not pray before. Now I'm praying and I'm seeing fruit from it because now I'm praying according to God's will. But you never would have learned his will had you not been praying on the situation to begin with. Let me give an example to the married folk. I don't know, maybe some of you got magical marriages. Maybe some of you got magical marriages that you've never had an argument with your spouse and everything has gone perfectly ever since you got married. I don't know. Here's the reality marriage here is when two different people get married, there's two different people who are married. And it is the natural tendency to say, my spouse really needs to change. If only this person were right, my marriage would be great. And so you should be praying for your marriage. Not just that your spouse would change, but you pray that your marriage would change. And what you'll notice as you pray for your marriage, your prayers will begin to shift into God's will. You'll pray less and less things like, man, I wish my spouse would see that I'm supposed to get the football package, you know, on cable. Because clearly, I deserve to watch every single football game and be able to TiVo it and see it at any time. Though I believe that's in accordance with God's will. What I have found is if you pray, and I've never prayed that, but if I wouldn't mind it. But I'm working Sundays. I'm going to miss a lot of games. So, but if you pray, you notice you start praying for things like that. And if you track it over a couple of months, you'll notice you're not praying that you get to watch football. You pray that the husband and wife will choose to spend more time together. Now, you may pray in the beginning, Lord, wake my wife up to how wonderful football is. Let her see that this is the greatest sport in the world. It's far better than shopping, decorating, or cooking. And as you're praying, Lord, that we would spend time together, your heart begins to shift. Lord, change me in the way that I want to do things that my wife wants to spend time with me doing. Lord, if you would work in me an ability to know what my wife enjoys doing and that I would do those things with her so our marriage could be stronger. So now, when you're doing things with your wife, it's no longer a sacrifice. It's pleasing because you've been praying that way, and God not only is honoring your prayers, he's changing your heart. And you start living in peace, and football is no longer an idol. And then you know what happens? Your wife watches a football game with you. I'm going to give you an example of this in my life. It's going to sound silly, but to me it wasn't. Now, you're going to have to, if you're not married, you're not going to understand this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Okay, when I shower, don't picture it. When I shower, I like as much water hitting me as possible. I like it going crazy. I like water. I want to be like under a waterfall with a fire hose and a bucket. I just want water coming. I want to literally have to be swimming upstream while I'm taking a shower. You get this? I like a lot of water. So one day, I was at Home Depot doing something, and I saw this shower head. It was like the size of a toilet bowl cover. I was like, this is awesome. This is the greatest thing ever. Who invented this? Can I get bigger pipe coming into it? And they had this little filter that restricts the water. You know what I'm talking about? I pulled that out. And I cleaned it out a little bit. And I was like, we want maximum water flowing through this baby right here. And I said, okay, sometimes my wife likes to take a shower and not get her hair wet. So I'll get this little bendy arm thing on it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, you can kind of pull it down and now you're showering. I'm thinking, this is the greatest shower head ever. My wife is going to rejoice with me on this. So I install it as a little surprise. I'm expecting she'll make my favorite dinner later because this is awesome. My wife comes out of the shower. What the heck happened in the shower? I was like, it's awesome, right? She's like, no. The water is coming out and it's doing all of this. And I'm like, I know, isn't that great? She said, no, I hate that. It's like, what are you talking about? It's water, I can't control it, and it's getting on my hair. It's got the bendy neck thing. She goes, I don't like the bendy neck thing. I don't want water coming at me. It gets on my hair. I'm like, what are you talking about? Let's just try it. Just try it. Just try it for a little bit. We didn't keep that shower head at all. And I was very bitter. Let me be honest with you. I was very bitter. And from time to time, I would bring up the shower head that we should have. So I took off the shower head and the bendy neck thing, and I put it under our bed. I didn't throw it away. I'm like, one day, baby, one day. I'll pray her through. I promise you will come out again. She's not ready for this. Meat is for the mature. She's in shower milk right now, but one day. One day. So it's under the bed. I'm bitter. Every year or two, I bring up the shower head. Yeah, I guess that shower head's all right, but, you know, remember that shower head we had? All the water? No? Okay. Yeah. 6, 8, 12 months later, I bring it up again, nothing. And over time, our marriage just got better. Praying for one another, our hearts are changing, we're more loving, more submitted to one another. I redid the bathroom one time, painted the walls, you know, changed some stuff, put up the shower head. I'm like, I'm the man of the house. I'm in charge of the shower head. Clearly, she now recognizes. So I show her the bathroom, painted walls, floors are nice, new shower head. And she says to me, you know what she says to me? She says to me, oh, that shower head, I really don't like it, but if you really like it, I guess I'll just work around it. I was like, oh, pierced right in my heart. Oh, I was ready for the fight. I was ready for, oh, and she just defers to me in love. It took all the fun out of the shower head. I'll go take it down. No, no, you don't have to. I know I don't have to, but I want to now. Took down the shower head, put a nice one up. And the Lord spoke to me right in that moment. I mean, he spoke so clearly to me. I've gotten to a place, and as silly as this sounds, I've gotten to a place that my wife's happiness is more important than the shower head. Now, that just sounds so stupid in the abstract, of course. But if you're married, you're fighting over 500 different shower heads probably. You're fighting over just the dumbest stuff in the world. My wife and I would fight over everything when we got married. We had massive arguments about what our bedspread is going to look like. I mean, we just fought all the time about everything. And over time, as I have prayed for the Lord to rebuke my wife and change her, the Lord has changed me. Wouldn't kill her, you know, just... No. It's an inside joke. I didn't pray for God to kill her. And he's changed me. And now my marriage is better. And I'd like to say that I've done all the changing and that's why it's better. No, but really, the truth is that God has changed us. As I have prayed the way God wants me to be praying, Lord, change me. Let me be the change in my marriage. It changes my spouse. My wife didn't argue with me about the shower head. My wife came to a revelation of love where she said, this is really important to my husband. Therefore, I'm going to try to figure out a way to make my husband happy. And in her desire to make me happy, I desired to make her happy. Not, I'm going to argue with you until you submit to me. I want to find ways to bless you. And her wanting to bless me, I wanted to bless her. And blessing her was not having the crazy shower head. Blessing her was just being a husband who cares about her hair thing. Getting wet and whatnot. Apparently that's important. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? But it's this prayer that shifts you more than it shifts whatever you're praying for. The first thing that happens is prayer is you get transformed into someone who can pray the prayers of God. And then God begins to change your situation. But it requires you to have a prayer life. It requires you to have a prayer life where you're around people who know how to pray, who you learn how to pray the ways of God, that you're around revelation, and that you're seeking the will of God. Maybe you don't, it's not a marriage thing for you. Maybe your island of Lewis is you want to get into ministry. Maybe to you, you've prayed years and years and years, Lord, I want to get in ministry. Why have I not gotten into ministry yet? What happened? Jesus, I thought you spoke to me, and I don't see what happens. In Acts chapter 13, there's this little prayer meeting they had. In Acts chapter 13, it says that they were with the prophets and the teachers worshiping God. They're in a prayer meeting with the prophets and the teachers worshiping God. And then God spoke. So the Bible says, there were prophets and teachers together, they were worshiping God, and God spoke. Many people have not come into their calling because they have not availed themselves to pray with prophets and teachers. You don't have a prayer life where God can speak by elders in your life, and God spoke and said, Barnabas and Paul, separate them for the work of the ministry. He's with the prophets, the teachers, worshiping God. God spoke, and they got into ministry. It's the prayer meeting that launches you into what God has for you. The prayer meeting is the most neglected meeting of the church. I walk by our intercession room Sunday morning, and I'm like, the glory of God is in that room. Too bad too many people would rather be sipping coffee right now. I look at the beginning of worship when we're here and we pray for one another before worship starts. We get exhorted out of the word and the band begins to worship and the presence of God is here and there's like 25 people at the beginning of worship. People don't understand the power of the prayer meeting. I mean, maybe the anointing is so thick in your house that, you know, what do I need to go there on time for? I just go there whenever. Well, you better hope that the word that was spoken at the beginning of worship wasn't the God speaking, separate this one, and you were at home. Imagine if that was a prayer meeting they decided to skip. Separate Barnabas and Theophilus for the work of the ministry. Paul's like, I go there every week. Nothing's happened yet. I see Jesus walks along the road telling people, follow me. I wonder how many people he said, follow me, and they didn't follow him, and we never heard of them. That's what I wonder. I wonder who decided, I don't need the prophets and the teachers in my life because I have a relationship with God, and pray. I don't have a big altar call to give you today. I don't have a big. I want to provoke something in you. I want to lift up a mirror and I want to show you. Listen, there's more. There is more, and you're missing it because of the lack of discipline in your walk. God is going to meet us in amazing ways. Come, Mike. God is going to meet this church in amazing ways. Actually, let me get the band to come up. I want to sing one song, and I'm going to dismiss you. We're not going to go on for a long time. I'm not going to do all kinds of stuff. I just really feel like God is really drawing this house to the secret place so we could transform who we are. I want to provoke you. I want to challenge you. Here's what, write this down. I want to challenge you. We're going to do a 21-day prayer challenge. In 21 days, we're having our barbecue. I want the saints of this house to pray for this barbecue every day. We're going to pray every day for 21 days that the Lord would bring people who don't have a church, that the Lord would bring people who are away from God, that the Lord would bring your family and friends who will not come Sunday morning with you, but they'll come to a barbecue. That God would graft people into this house in this barbecue. 21 days of prayer. Bring it before God every day. God, that you would bless this prayer meeting, Lord. God, that you would draw the lost in this prayer meeting. And I want to challenge you, get a prayer life this week. Get on your knees before the Lord. And don't get up until you know that he heard your prayer. Don't get up until you know that God was in that place with you. We're going to play, we're going to sing. Hold on. I got a song here. I got 3 songs here. Hold on 1 second here. I got a plan. Yeah, let's do that. We're going to sing I Give Myself Away, all right? Stand to your feet. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. We love you this morning. Jesus, we just ask. We ask, Lord, that you begin to move on the inside of us. Jesus. Come on, put your hand on your heart. Father, I pray that you would draw me to the secret place. Come on, pray it after me. Father, I pray that you draw me to the secret place. Empower me to pray the prayers that you're praying over me. Commitment this morning that you're going to pray. Make a covenant in your heart.
Give myself away so you can use. myself away. I give myself away so you can. You hear I am, here I am, here I stand, Lord, my life is in your hands, Lord, I'm longing to see your desire be built in me.
Hallelujah.
I give myself away.